This is The Impromptu, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. And now, your hosts for today, Michael Norton and Alex Knight. What else are you playing these days?
Let's see. I'm also playing Shadow of Mordor, which is pretty cool. Yeah. It's kind of challenging, though. It's like you start out with not a lot of power, and if there's a ton of orcs, you're probably going to die. There is sort of a penalty for dying. Like, the orc that kills you may become a captain, and then you have, like, a vendetta against them, and it's part of this thing called the Nemesis system. So it's like, you can get grudges with some of these guys, basically.
Hmm. Interesting.
Or, like, you can try to kill one of them, wound them, they escape. And then they have that scar the next time you face them.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Like, they remember. They're like, I'll pay you back for this scar.
They never
like
forget.
Stuff. Yeah, like, details like that. And
it's kind of creepy.
It's kind of, yeah. It's definitely really interesting. It's something that I think you could only really do on the next-gen consoles. Because it's a serious leap forward in AI, because any orc in the game can theoretically kill you and then become a character that then remembers their encounters with you. So it's like, it's really emergent gameplay that just kind of pops into existence.
How does it look on the PS4?
Amazing.
Yeah. What would you say is the best looking game on the PS4 that you've played so far?
Destiny looks pretty good. Last of Us looks pretty good, even though it's running on a PS3 engine.
Have you played the remastered Tomb Raider game?
Yeah, that looks pretty good too, although it's still not as good as PC on Max.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't played the PC versions, but
it's only slightly worse than PC at Max settings.
Okay. All right. I still think that's one of the best looking games I've seen. Overall, I'm so impressed with that game. I mean, the work that they did.
And I have high hopes for the new one.
Yeah, there's a new one coming out, isn't it? When is that coming out? I haven't really read too much about it.
Holiday 2015.
Okay, so it's
called Rise of the Tomb Raider. Because of course it is.
Right. I'm really excited to see what the truly sort of representation, like the actual representation of what the PS4 can do in like a next gen game. Like, I feel like we haven't got that yet, because a lot of the games that are still coming out now have been either on PS3 and they've kind of had to redo some things to make it look a little bit better. But I feel like we haven't gotten something that is like truly a good representation of what that hardware can do. For a while, but
Infamous Second Son, I would probably point to as the current gold standard for graphics, actually.
Okay.
Infamous is really good. Like, it looks like Seattle. And it's slightly cartoony, but mostly realistic, and the particle effects are insane. Like, there's this neon power, and you're just, like, blasting laser beams, and it's just going everywhere, and there's these particles, and just insane.
Isn't there a new, I thought I saw, I'm not sure if it's a DLC or something, or a smaller game. Isn't there a newer one that they came out with?
Yeah, that's Infamous First Light, which...
Right, what's that about? It's a DLC.
I would almost call it an... I would almost call it an expansion pack. You don't need the original game to play it. It's kind of its own thing. It's a secondary...
Have you played it?
...story. Yeah. It's a secondary story
to the main
game. You basically... Just as good.
Okay.
It doesn't look any better.
Right, so it's probably the same engine.
Running the same code. Yeah. They haven't made any tweaks or anything. If they do a sequel, obviously they'll improve it, like a proper sequel. But for now, it's pretty much the gold standard. But when Uncharted 4 comes out, that will be Naughty Dog using the console to its maximum potential, most likely. Like,
yeah, just next
based on the footage
exciting.
We've already seen, mm-hmm. it's going to be good. I would also say Dragon Age Inquisition is probably going to be an early benchmark as well. It looks quite striking in the trailers that I've seen. But that... Actually, I'm not sure if they're doing a PC version.
I haven't looked too much at what the lineup is for next year, but I'm excited about Batman Arkham Knight and Battlefield Hardline.
Yeah. Those will be good. Hardline looks interesting. It's definitely a break from the usual. Instead of war, it's cops and criminals. But of course, nobody ever plays them for the single player.
Well, I do.
It's like, no, we don't care about that. I do too. Yeah. But yeah, most people, forget that. Where's the multiplayer?
I mean, I don't mind playing with friends online occasionally, but that's not really why I buy those games. I just like the... I don't know, I like war games for some reason. They've just always appealed to me.
Hmm.
Ranging from the sort of silly Return to Castle Wolfenstein stuff that's not based on actual history, but ranging from that all the way to the more realistic Battlefield-type games. I like them all. Haven't played the new Wolfenstein game.
The new one's actually quite good.
Is it called The New Order or something like that?
Yeah. It's from a new studio under Bethesda.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's quite good.
Yeah.
The alternate timeline where the Nazis win and, like, just an amazing amount of detail. Like... It's a straight-up first-person shooter with, like, old-school health packs and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like you're playing an older game, but the story and all of the detail and art direction are top-notch. Like, you really believe that this is a world where the Nazis have been in power for 50 years.
Hmm. Do the Nazis inhabit the moon?
Yes. Yes, there are Nazis on the moon. With lasers, of course.
Well, you have to have lasers.
Yeah, you got to have lasers on the moon. That just goes without saying. To fight worms.
Have you seen the movie Iron Sky?
Yes.
You know where I'm going with this. I love that movie. As cheesy as it is, it's fantastic.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
It's so bad. It's good.
Yeah. And of course they had like all the German character actors who always play Nazis.
Oh, of course.
All the time.
You have to have them. Who else? Who did they get? What's that guy's name? I always forget his name, but he's in a lot of like B movies and he always plays Udo Kier.
I don't know
if I'm pronouncing his name right.
Yeah.
He's like the quintessential German baddie in movies.
Oh yeah. Pretty much. Let's see. Okay, here's a list of upcoming games. Final Fantasy 15, obviously. Which actually looks quite interesting. They're doing like a full open world thing for the first time.
Final Fantasy, I've tried a few, but they don't grab. Those kind of games don't grab me for some reason.
Yeah, it's hit and miss.
I've tried to play Final Fantasy collection. Yeah, like I bought a collection of like remastered some of the original titles. It was like the first, I think, three Final Fantasy games. I tried going back to those. Like the whole turn-based fighting games really frustrate me because I'm not good at them, and I just hate standing there like waiting for my character to. No, just I don't know. I can't really get into that. Which is it's odd because one of the only games I could actually get through for some reason was Chrono Trigger, which was in that style. But other games, for some reason, I just can't play them.
Chrono Trigger had a really unique way of doing it, which then sort of carried over into later Final Fantasy games. Like Chrono Trigger was basically the first time that they used the active time bar. Which was, like, the bar fills up, and then you can do something.
Mm-hmm.
But then enemies had that, too, so they could intervene quicker,
right.
Potentially. And then you'd have spells that could make the bar go faster. And so Final Fantasy basically copied that, and that kind of became the way that the games worked from then on.
Mm. I thought about trying the... What's the most recent one? Is it a Realm Reborn?
That's their online game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 14 is their MMO.
Mm.
Which is now taken over from Final Fantasy 11, which was their first MMO, which is now defunct. I'm not sure if the servers are still running or not, but basically they've put all their effort into Final Fantasy 14.
Now, are these like self-contained, like... Can I play these recent Final Fantasy games without really playing knowing the backstory of these? Like I don't even know anything about them. I don't know if they're the same characters from the old games or
it's essentially an anthology. Every game is a different world,
okay,
a different timeline, a different story. Except more recently, they kind of tried this thing where all the games were sort of connected. That was Final Fantasy 13 and 13-2, and then 13... I don't think they called it 13-3. It was Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns, which was like the third game, and it got really bizarre.
I think it got mixed reviews too, right?
Yeah, 13 wasn't great. Like, the original 13 was basically just walking down straight lines.
Okay.
It was completely and utterly linear.
Sounds boring.
13-2 kind of fixed some of the issues that the first game had, but the story got weird and odd, and yeah. They haven't really done a game hit lately.
Is there a Final Fantasy game you can recommend to somebody who has not really played any of them? What would be a good entry point? Does that even exist?
Final Fantasy VII. Got to start with VII.
Try that.
VIII is good too. So is actually VII, VIII, IX, and X are probably the best Final Fantasy games.
So I should start with VII if I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I mean VII is pretty much heralded as the best Final Fantasy story ever. Mm-hmm. So.
I mean, what about the like the fighting mechanics and stuff like that? How's that?
That's it's a later game, so it's running active time battle gauge. So it's turn-based, but only partially. It's like Chrono Trigger in that the bar fills up.
And that actually sounds more exciting to play than because I wasn't really aware of what the differences were. Like why? Like I didn't understand why is Chrono Trigger? Why do I remain engaged in that game as compared to Final Fantasy? I didn't really know what the differences were in terms. I just knew that Final Fantasy just seemed boring to me, just kind of standing there waiting to get hit. And then
It was kind of a major moment in RPGs because before then everything was using the standard turn-based boring system. And then Chrono Trigger comes along with these bars that fill up and everyone was like, "Whoa, this is awesome." And so that became the way that RPGs worked after that. Then in Final Fantasy XII, they moved to a newer system where stuff sort of started to happen more in real time. And then 13 extended it further. And now 15 is actually going to be completely real time with the characters actively attacking enemies. So
that's
basically
cool.
Like an action game, sort of.
When is this coming out?
I think next year. It's been delayed. Like, it was originally called Final Fantasy 13 Versus.
Yeah.
And it was basically in development hell for years and years and years. They first announced it in 2006 under the Versus 13 title. And then in June 2013, they said, oh, we're moving it to the next-gen consoles. And finally confirmed that it was going to be Final Fantasy 15 instead.
Hmm. We should put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah. It was mostly developed by Tetsuya Nomura of Kingdom Hearts and other Final Fantasy games. He's kind of divisive. Some people love him. Some people hate him. But he has done some of the better work in the series, arguably. He was involved in Final Fantasy VII, for example. So
I remain fully ignorant. I have no idea who he is. Never heard of him. I've never played any of the Kingdom Hearts games.
Yeah. He's also the brainchild for the Kingdom Hearts series. Like, that's his baby, essentially. And Kingdom, like, he's now left development of Final Fantasy XV. There's now a new guy in charge, overseeing the finishing touches and stuff. While he goes,
does that worry
works.
You at all?
Not really. The directorial duties were given over to the guy that was co-directing it, anyways.
Okay.
So I
always get concerned
when
there's like a, you know, creative switch in the middle of the development of a big project like that.
Yeah, no, he's he was already split between 15 and Kingdom Hearts, so the other guy was helping out, so he was already directly involved. So I don't see there being any problems there. I think the game is the game. Like, they've spent so much time on it. They already have the story. They already know what they want to do. They just kind of have to finish it off and then ship it. So I would think that the game is pretty much done at this point. They're just like adding voice acting, finishing like last minute textures and things. Possibly looking at DLC, bug fixing, bug testing, quality assurance. It's probably going to come out, I would say, mid-2015, if we're lucky. Who knows?
Games never slip.
Well, this one slipped a lot.
Slipped on a banana peel, sounds like.
Yeah, well, we've been waiting since 2006, so, yeah, a while. Or a short time in Valve time. Still haven't heard anything from them about anything.
What happened to their console that they were making?
Oh, SteamOS?
Yeah, is it?
SteamOS is, yeah, it's still kind of kicking along. I don't know how successful it's been. I don't know of any Steam machines that are really selling or being sold anywhere.
Right.
So I think the plan was it was supposed to take off in 2015. Like, the first retail versions would be 2015. I think right now SteamOS is kind of in beta while they work out all the issues.
Okay. Right.
I know
They redesigned the controller, didn't they? I remember seeing like two different distinct iterations of that controller.
Yeah, there have been a few different versions. Originally, the center of the controller was a giant touchpad, and now it's like four buttons.
Maybe they realized they went a little too far in one direction with, like, lack of physical tactile buttons.
Yeah, I mean, the control sticks are touchpads, so to then have a touchpad in the middle of the controller might have been a little too far.
Right. I just realized we have not talked about Nintendo at all. That's okay, nobody gives a shit anyways.
Yeah, no. Nintendo what? Although, to their credit, the 3DS is still an amazing console.
I just don't have
Smash Brothers
inclination. I'm so picky. I'm so used to, like, high-res screens, like, even on my Vita, the display is amazing, and I cannot stand looking at pixels, and the 3DS XL display, just terrible viewing angles, terrible color reproduction. Supposedly that new variant that they've only released in Japan, I don't recall the model. You know the one I'm talking about, where they've actually, it's got, like, more RAM and the screen, it's supposedly it's a better display.
Yeah,
but we're not getting it here. Yeah, we're not getting it here. So
we're not getting it here yet. It is going to be out here, but not until next year. Probably February or March, I think.
Remains to be seen how many more generations of anemic hardware can Nintendo release and state that, well, the hardware is not that important. It's the game.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how much longer that's going to work.
Yeah, I think they've really lost that battle. Like, I would argue that, yes, of course, the game is more important, but they've lost that battle. People want more and more realistic games, more and more realistic graphics and animations and...
Well, not just consumers, I mean developers, right? Because, that's a huge limitation to, especially if you've developed your game on another console. Now suddenly, like, nobody wants to take a game, let's say, that was designed for the PS4 and downscale it to the point where that initial creative vision of how your game was going to look now has to be essentially castrated for the Nintendo system, because
that's basically what it is. Yeah, and I mean, when we're talking about it not being as powerful, it's not just graphics, it's draw distance, it's number of objects you can have on the screen,
everything,
it's AI, it's everything. I mean, game like Shadow of Mordor with the Nemesis system, it just wouldn't work on the Wii U at all.
Is the Wii U even RAM 1080p capable?
Yes, it is. It's at the very least 1080p. But that's it, essentially. It's about as powerful as an Xbox 360. Maybe
that's
slightly worse.
That's sad. Ugh. It has a 550 megahertz AMD Radeon chip in it.
Yeah,
2 gigs of memory. 2 gigs of DDR3.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the new consoles have DDR5, while the PS4 does.
Right. It's got a 1.24 gigahertz tri-core IBM PowerPC chip in it.
Yeah.
That's like from last century.
Well, I mean, the PS3 and the 360 also had PowerPC architecture.
Right, but that just shows you, though, how behind in terms of the hardware they are, right?
Yeah. I mean, Sony and Microsoft realized, we need to move to x86 because then it's easier for developers to make something that works on everything, including PC, because then they can just write the same code and it works.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to do this fussy meddling.
Nintendo's not only having problems with hardware, but it seems software too. Like, you would think, like, buying something like a 3DS, if you, let's say, lost your 3DS, you'd be able to just go to the Nintendo store and just re-download all your purchases, right?
They're good at software. Right? They're just not good at online at all.
No.
They've completely missed the boat on online. They don't get it. And I'm not sure they ever are going to get it. It'll probably be too late by the time they figure it out. Because even with the latest iteration of everything, it still doesn't work the way you would want it to.
Right.
It still relies on friend codes and other super annoying things.
So. I didn't realize how bad it was until I heard Brianna on Isometric say, like, she lost her 3DS and she had to, like, call Nintendo and give all this personal, like, information to try to verify her account and all this entire lengthy process with customer service to try to get those purchases reauthorized. It just sounds like a complete nightmare.
Yeah. It's,
once again,
it's not great.
It doesn't matter how good the games are, I would never buy a Nintendo product for that alone. Not until they solve some of these fundamental issues. Sad. I mean, I want to like them. I mean, they've had such a fantastic history. I know they have talented people working there, but they've got to get their shit together.
Hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't sound like they're announcing anything exciting. I don't think they don't have anything planned this year, do they?
No. Well, the only big release they have left this year is Smash Brothers for Wii U. It's already out for 3DS, and then it's going to be out for Wii U. And there's sort of a free DLC thing they're doing. If you have both, then it unlocks certain things, including Mewtwo, which everybody lost it about for some reason. I never liked him as a character. He was very floaty. Like, too light. Other players could just knock him around really easily. Because, of course, every fighter has certain balance differences.
Right.
Some characters are really heavy, and it's difficult to knock them out of the stage. Like Bowser or Captain Falcon. But others are lighter.
Right.
Like Mewtwo.
Do you think there's a balance problem?
No, I mean, all the characters are balanced pretty effectively. Like, the lighter characters make up for it by having stronger attacks or better jumping and evasion tactics. It all kind of works out. They do a really good job on balancing out all the characters to the point where it doesn't really matter what you pick. As long as you know how to use it well, you can defeat anybody, pretty much. It really does come down to skill. So, yeah.
So one more release for Smash Brothers on the Wii U, and that's about it. I'd like to see some new hardware next year from Nintendo. That would be nice. I mean, the Wii U was announced in 2012. So,
yeah, something like that.
I don't know anything about their release cycle, but it'd be nice to see something next year. At least bring that new 3DS to North America.
Yeah, I mean, they'll do that. It's just a question of when. They'll probably announce it in, I don't know, the next month or two, maybe.
Yeah.
As for the console, yeah, the Wii U was kind of a horrible mistake, really. It was badly marketed. People thought it was an add-on for the Wii.
Right.
So they had that to contend with. And then the system itself just wasn't very good to start with in terms of software. Like, it was really slow to load. Stuff would freeze. It would just take forever. And it took them
I think
it was like 4 or 5 software updates before it finally got usable.
That's not a good sign.
No, it's not.
And I think they should have actually taken the opportunity to give that console a completely unrelated name. I mean, I suppose they felt some sort of brand security by calling it, you know, the Wii, having the Wii prefix in front of it. But maybe that ended up harming them more in the end, because people thought, like you said, maybe if people thought it was just sort of an add-on accessory. Maybe that's not a good thing, right? There's something to be said for, you know, we're going to create this brand new product. We're going to we're not going to associate it with the previous product. People still know the company. They know our brand, but they could have easily come up with a new title for that thing.
Yeah.
And said, this is a brand new top to bottom product, right?
Yeah. I mean, the original, what was the original name for it? There was like, oh, the code name was Project Cafe. Never mind.
That would have been awful.
Yeah. I must be confusing it with the Wii, because the Wii had the Revolution code name. I feel like they should go back to their roots and use Nintendo in the name of the console again.
Yeah.
Like, not
that would actually
Super
be
Nintendo,
a welcome return to form.
But they could do, like, there aren't really any modifiers left that wouldn't sound silly, like Hyper Nintendo.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, where do you go from Super? Mega Nintendo. No. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't work. Maybe they just have to come up with a new name.
The Nintendo Genesis.
Yeah, and then they sell all of their stuff to Sega.
I don't know. The Japanese seem to like adding a lot of adjectives. They could just make it some really ridiculously long name, like the new Nintendo Genesis Super Terrific Amazing Console.
Hmm. That has a certain ring to it.
They can have that for free.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't really care what they call it, as long as they make something.
Just make it good.
Yeah.
Just make it good. Make it good, Nintendo.
And the other mistake they made, the other big mistake they made was the gamepad. They were like, oh, everybody likes these tablets, so we'll make a tablet as the part of the controller. No.
I tried it. Just,
no.
So bad. Oh, I can't stand it.
It's like, I love Nintendo, and I have a Wii U, and I can't wait for certain games, but it's like, the gamepad, I always refer to it as the Fisher-Price iPad.
It does kind of remind me of that. That kind of,
doesn't it?
It doesn't. I mean, it doesn't feel like a particularly solid product.
Yeah, it's like that. That's why it reminds me of Fisher Price. It's like that. It's like the kind of fake tablet you would give to your 3-year-old, so that they can follow along with you.
Yeah,
like the phone. Like, oh, adults get to use the phone. Here, have a phone. It's like a plastic phone that does nothing, right? It's like, it looks like that. It's not particularly slim. It's not particularly well built. It's big and heavy and clunky. I think they can do better.
Yeah, I know they can. We've picked on Nintendo for quite a while. Actually, I want to pick on Sony for a little bit, because I know you have a Vita, or you had one. Do you still have one?
Yeah, I've still got mine.
Do you like it?
I like it. I haven't used it a lot lately, but I like it.
Yeah. I love my Vita. I don't have the latest generation one, which I have tried, but I feel like Sony has not done a good marketing job with this product. And I don't understand this, because there are so many fantastic games on this. I mean, just the way that Sony has embraced indie developers is, first of all, fantastic. But the Vita has a great library of games. Another huge selling point is that you can get all these amazing PlayStation 1 titles for it that are released on Vita. And it becomes an incredibly powerful handheld console. And I don't understand why they're not marketing this product more. Why don't they have a PS4 bundle with the Vita included because their whole remote play feature is now like a huge selling
point. Yeah.
Or should be a huge selling point. They're not really advertising it a whole heck of a lot. I just think there's a huge missed opportunity.
Which is bizarre.
And
yeah,
they had a weird launch with the sort of in North America. They launched the Borderlands bundle for the new the latest generation Vita, which has a weird code name. Not a code name, but it's called the PCH2000. That's the model number. But anyways, so they released this Borderlands bundle, and the console itself comes in one color, black, which to me doesn't make sense because in Japan they've released a multitude of colors, fantastic looking colors too. And I wanted to get either the red one or the white one, but I don't understand why they haven't released all of the colors. Like, why didn't they release that day one?
Yeah.
It
seems odd. Especially because North American market, customization is a big thing.
Yeah. I mean, the multicolored iPods have sold really well for Apple. People like getting products that have specific colors. They, you know, it's just it's about appealing to personalization, right? So I just think they missed the boat on that one.
Yeah. Especially... I kind of want to segue into the Apple Watch, but I'm going to restrain myself. It's like, you see, with all the bands... No, I'm not going to do it.
Get a hold of yourself.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. They're kind of flailing around with the Vita. And there aren't a lot of, like, first-party, third-party titles, like major titles for the Vita either. Like, they do one every so often, but there isn't really that push to kind of make it a thing.
Right. That that Velocity game, was it Velocity Ultra? Velocity something. Can't remember the title. It's cross-buy, I think, and cross-play. You get it, you buy it once, you get a copy for, like, PS4, PS3, Vita, which is amazing. I think that should be the gold standard for any release, personally. But that game is actually pretty fantastic. It's from an indie studio.
Yeah.
And actually, I recently finished... I'm drawing a blank now. There was a game I recently finished that was amazing. Had a fantastic soundtrack. From the people that made Bastion.
Oh, Transistor.
Transistor, yeah. Fantastic game. Excellent art. And the soundtrack's amazing.
Yeah. I actually have the soundtrack.
Yeah. The soundtrack, when I bought it, came with two versions, and one of them is without lyrics, and it's just the character humming. And sometimes putting that on, it's so relaxing. It's just incredible. Love it.
Nice.
Anything else going on? We've talked about a lot of depressing news, but we've talked about some positive things.
Yeah. You know, other than everything and Nintendo being doomed and so on. Yeah.
All right. Right.
Yeah. Got some good... We do have some good games coming up. There's The Witcher 3 in the new year. That's going to be huge, hopefully. There's The Division, which is that new Tom Clancy game, which takes place in a post-viral America. Like, terrorists unleash a virus on Black Friday, and then it turns into a pandemic or something. And you're part of this team that's supposed to maintain order.
Do they just release the virus at a Walmart?
Probably.
And what else? Any other big titles?
Let's see. Well, nothing definitely confirmed, but they are working on Mirror's Edge 2. They are working on a new Mass Effect. They're working on a new Hitman.
Do we need another Hitman game?
Well, apparently they're rethinking the whole thing and going back to what made the series good, like Blood Money. That kind of open-ended. The last one was criticized for just being... not like it didn't give the player enough choices to complete their goal. Whereas Blood Money, you could kind of just do whatever you want to infiltrate and get your target. People would replay levels over and over again, trying to do something differently each time.
Oh, okay.
But it kind of lost that in the later game, and people complained, and now they're kind of listening to the community feedback and trying to make a better game. They actually released an open letter to fans back in January where they kind of outlined, we want to make this more like the game that you love. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Acknowledging your fans, that's a little important.
Yeah, just a bit. There's The Last Guardian, which is another game that's been in development hell for a long time. It was going to be the spiritual sequel to Shadow of the Colossus, about a boy protecting a griffin. And we kept not hearing about it forever. And apparently it's still coming at some point, probably for PS4 now. But nobody really knows what's happening.
Maybe just in time for Nintendo's next hardware release? Sometime in 2025?
Yeah, maybe. I figure if it's going to happen, they're probably going to announce it at E3 maybe this year. Either that or they do a surprise reveal at this PlayStation Experience thing, maybe.
So there's supposed to be an E3 happening this year? Is it usually? I don't really know much about it, to be honest with you. I kind of just ignore all the news.
I mean 2015. When I say this year, I mean the next.
Oh, for next year. Right, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
When do they normally do
E3? E3's in June.
June, okay.
And the next one specifically is June 16th to 18th, which will probably put it a week after WWDC. June is always a very good time to be a nerd.
It's a good time to be a nerd any day.
You get the new version of iOS, you get the new version of OS X. And you get tons of new game news. It's great.
It's like being on Oprah.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, you get a beta OS.
That's a gift.
You get a beta OS. Now here's some games. Or, of course, the fan favorite GIF, bees.
And then somebody, mentions the what, sorry?
There's a GIF of, like, originally it's Oprah unveiling a Volkswagen Beetle for everyone in the crowd, but they replace the beetle with bees.
No,
and the bees fly out of the box. And
send me a link.
It gets me every time. Yeah, I'll try and find it again. It's pretty funny. But you were saying?
Oh, I was just gonna say. You know, there's always that one person that'll mention Nintendo, but then there'll just be like awkward silence and crickets.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nintendo's kind of off in their own world, right? They seem somewhat disconnected from everybody else.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, we know they're working on a new Zelda game for Wii U. They showed off a part of it at E3. We don't know like what it'll actually turn into, because it's probably still early in the development process. But based on that trailer, people are speculating that Link in this game is actually going to be a girl, which would be pretty cool.
Oh, and let's not have the whole Saving Princess Peach thing again. Wait, that's Mario. That's different. But anyways, yes, that too. We don't need.
Well, I mean,
Mario
Zelda's
games,
kind of gotten. Yeah.
Wait, Princess. I'm getting confused.
In Zelda,
Princess Peach is. Princess
Mario.
Peach. Which? She's from Mario. Okay.
Yeah.
That just shows how much I know about Nintendo games.
Yeah, in Zelda, it's Princess Zelda, but. Actually, the past few games, she's gotten a lot more resourceful and
that's good.
Kind of independent. Like, she's a lot less, oh, save me, yeah. Like, it's not so much that anymore. She, like, she kind of kicks ass. She, like, wields a bow and arrow, and she actually helps out quite a lot. in the past few games. In Wind Waker, she was a pirate who then found out she was a princess, and then it kind of got a bit stereotypy, but then at the end she pulls out the bow and arrow and helps Link kill Ganondorf, which is kind of awesome.
I want her to like whip out like a machine gun or something and just be like just totally nuts. Like Rambo style, like Gatling gun with like this huge like bullet belt.
Yeah, Hyrule hasn't really developed that level of technology yet.
Well,
although the new game has like
the Wii U
lasers.
Can't handle that anyways.
Well, the new game has lasers and like laser arrows.
Like, well, that sounds promising.
In the trailer, Link. Yeah, there's like in the game, there's like a the trailer they showed. There's a giant Octorok chasing Link on horseback. And it's firing this laser that's just, like, cutting through the land. And then Link jumps off the horse and has a bow and arrow. And the arrow has, like, the same energy that the laser was. And he shoots it.
That sounds completely bananas, but I like it.
Yeah. It looked like something that they've never done before. Like, it looked like a whole new take on the game, basically. They also said it's going to be really open world for the first time, that the dungeons would flow seamlessly into the overworld, and they're talking like Skyrim kind of scale. They were like, oh, the mountain's over there, you can go over there, which of course never pans out, because there's always like a forest or like rocks or something that you can't go past.
Or hardware limitations that maybe, that sounds kind of too good to be true.
Well, I mean, it's as powerful as a 360, so you can likely get, your GTA 5 kind of complexity out of it, if they really push it. I mean, if anyone can get that kind of power out of the console, it'll be Nintendo.
Sure. Well, I mean, they ought to know how to squeeze every last ounce and have every trick in the book, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of damsels, actually, I don't know if you've played Spelunky, but one thing that I couldn't really get into the game. First of all, I found it ridiculously difficult. But there are like damsels that are like hidden in places that you can save, and I was like, are you kidding me, really? But then I actually found a setting in the game where you can change the damsel to be different gender, and you can also change the damsel to be like a dog.
Oh.
I thought it was like kind of funny. This is so random. Like, okay, I'm going to save this dog.
Hmm.
But you do get a choice. There is a setting in there. You can actually change that. So I just wanted to point that out. I thought it was interesting. Might not be obvious to everyone.
Hmm. Yeah, that is kind of interesting. I like that, actually.
Yeah.
Rather than tying it down to some expectation of who saves who.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, see, that just ties back to games being able to do something like that, and then people just don't do it.
Right.
Oh, and then, of course, the other big game, Silent Hills.
What? Which was another Silent Hill game?
Yes.
I don't know anything about this.
And more importantly, okay. So, at Gamescom 2014, Sony announced a playable teaser game called PT. Or, no, they called it... They said it was a new horror game. They called it PT, and they released it on the PlayStation Store for everybody. And it was creepy. I think you can still get it. Like, if you search for it, you can probably still get it.
I'm surprised.
It's really creepy. It's really good, actually. Like, it doesn't hold your hand. It doesn't tell you how to get through it. A lot of it's like a puzzle.
And it's free and available for the PS4 at Tabasket. Yes, please.
Yeah. You can find a walkthrough online on how to get through it, but that kind of takes the fun away. There's also a possibility that you can be killed in the game.
I'm going to give it a shot.
But basically, and I'm going to spoil this, obviously, it turns out that the entire thing is a fake that's effectively a teaser for the new Silent Hill game, which is called Silent Hills. And it's being done by... Are you ready for this? Hideo Kojima. Okay. And Guillermo del Toro.
No. You better not be lying to me.
I'm not lying. Kojima and Guillermo del Toro doing a Silent Hill.
One sec,
game.
I just gotta pick up the pieces of my brain because my head just exploded.
Oh, and if that weren't enough already, the main character is being played by Norman Reedus.
This sounds amazing.
Yes.
And so, and this is actually going to be a thing that's like coming out at some point. Do they have like a release date or ETA?
There's no release date yet. It might be next year. It might be 2016.
So this is like early days kind of project to try to wet our
appetites
for something.
Hold on. They started in September 2012. So maybe, yeah, next year.
Okay. All right. So it's been in development
And it's being done in the Fox engine, which Metal Gear Solid 5 is being built in.
Right.
So you know it's going to look good. In fact, it was interesting.
Actually, that's another game I'm excited about, is the new Metal Gear.
Yeah, although that's somewhat sexist, or a lot sexist. Like, there's a distraction thing you can use. Yeah. Metal Gear Solid 5,
must be
they were
something
showing
I'm missing,
a demo.
Okay, I must have not seen that.
Yeah, there was a gameplay demo they did where there was a distraction thing you could use, which revealed a pinup model. And then the soldiers would come over like, oh yeah, awesome, yeah. Like, not seeing that it's cardboard.
Just terrible.
Apparently. Yeah.
The game isn't out yet, so there's time to correct this now.
Yeah. You would hope, but probably not.
They should just change it to a picture of John Stamos. And the soldiers can have the exact same reaction. I'd be down for that. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, that would work.
The hypnotizing power of John Stamos' eyes.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The other thing I was going to say, the Silent Hills teaser, PT, they actually intentionally degraded the graphics so that it would look like an indie game.
Okay.
So that they didn't reveal, like, they added noise and a bunch of other stuff to disguise the fact that it was the Fox engine. Because, of course, the Fox engine looks really, really good if you've played Ground Zeroes.
I have, and that's also... I've not played it on the PS4, actually. I'm very tempted to see if it looks any better on the PS4.
Oh, it does.
I mean, it looks fantastic. I mean, seriously, like, it really pushes the boundaries of what you can do on a PS3 game, at the very least. But I imagine it looks great on PS4 as well.
Yeah, totally.
So many people ripped on that game. Like, I can't believe they charged $30 for this. The game is so short. Dude, the game is freaking amazing. I don't care if it's short. I got my $30 worth. That game was probably, like, ridiculously expensive to make. $30.
Yep.
Not that big of a deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, kind of you have to think about it. It's like... they took time out of development for the proper game... in order to make this thing.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know.
I miss David Hayter, though. I really did miss David Hayter. That was kind of jarring.
Yeah? You didn't like Kiefer Sutherland?
Don't put words in my mouth. I never said such a thing. I thought, you know what? By the end of the game, I'm like, fine. Okay. Different. Whether or not you want to call it canonical or not, obviously it's canon, but... there's obviously a connection to, I think, Peace. Was it pick up right after Peace Walker?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But anyways, I don't have a problem with his voice, but obviously I'm just used to David Hayter's voice, and to me that'll always be Snake's voice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they can get away with it because this is about Big Boss. Like, it's not really the Snake we know.
I'm curious about why they will probably never know, and I don't know if they've ever released information about that, but I imagine they wouldn't. But yeah, David Hayter sounded disappointed for not being included in the game, which I can understand because he's part of the history of the game, right? When you grow up playing all of these games, and you just it's like to me, it's like when somebody else other than Kevin Conroy voices Batman. You know what I mean? Like, if you grew up on the animated series, he's voiced Batman, like, for the last 20 years. In most shows. Most iterations of Batman, including the direct-to-video DC animated films and, you know, obviously the Arkham video games as well. So, to me, that's just, like, that's Batman's voice. In fact, like, when I read Batman comics, I hear Kevin Conroy's voice. So, it's so hard to disconnect from that.
Yeah. Well, it's just like Mark Hamill as
right.
the Joker.
Exact. Perfect.
Although, I will say that his replacement in Arkham Origins did quite a good job.
Yeah. I haven't played Arkham Origins. I have heard it, though, and it sounded like the guy did a pretty decent job. Like, you know, I'm not the kind of person that, like, I'm going to boycott this game because they didn't get Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy. Like, I can accept different variations of this character. Like, Batman, you know, as long as they get Batman's roots, like, as long as I can kind of identify and recognize this character, this is Batman, I'm fine with changing certain things, you know? And,
yeah,
you know, obviously certain things like the Chris Nolan Batman universe is vastly different. And I know I've had some debates with certain comic book nerd friends of mine who are like, no, those films are garbage. And I can appreciate them for being different. There's, to me, that's still Batman, although it's different. Just like I can appreciate the Tim Burton films, right? The first, even Batman Returns, like, it is not the Batman I know per se, but I can still appreciate it. Batman Returns is like for just visually, it is a very much a Tim Burton film. As an adult, rewatching it several times, especially on Blu-ray, it looks fantastic. And that movie has such a great Art Deco aesthetic to it. It's just purely, I just enjoy the eye candy. That movie looks fantastic. Again, it may not be the character that I grew up with, but I can still separate those things, you know. So when I say I miss David Hayter. I'm fine with Sutherland's voice. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually interesting. Troy Baker, he's like the new Nolan North. Not only has he done the voice for the Joker now.
Yeah.
He was
he's
also
got a very
Booker DeWitt.
Versatile voice. Right.
Booker DeWitt in BioShock.
I could not
Joel in The Last of Us.
Yeah. I looked him up. I'm like, I cannot believe this. I mean, this guy's incredibly talented. It's just the vocal range that he's got is amazing.
Yeah. And I didn't even know this. He did the voice of Delson Rowe for Infamous Second Son.
Mm.
Totally different.
I haven't played
character.
The game. That's what makes these guys professionals, though. I mean, the ability to change your voice to have... I mean, some voice actors are... They're really good at what they do, and you can still have a really good career as a voice actor, even if you can't do all sorts of crazy different types of characters. Obviously, you'll probably get the same... You may even get the same types of roles and the same types of characters, and that's fine. You can make a career out of that.
Yeah.
But obviously, there are other voice actors that can drastically change their voice and manipulate it. Those are the kind of people too that you kind of you think that when you watch a cartoon, you hear some voice and you think, oh, I've never heard this person before, but then when you actually look them up, you realize it's this one person that's voiced like all these other shows for like the last 20 years. So like voice acting is extremely competitive, and you always tend to hear the same group of people doing voices, like obviously like Rob Paulsen, right? Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy, like all these people, they have extremely versatile voices and they tend to do all these different characters. Sometimes you can't tell it's them, right? Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Speaking of voice acting, do you know who Crispin Freeman is?
The name rings a bell.
He's done a lot of anime, but he also does voice acting workshops in LA. I thought about taking one. That should be an interesting experience. Yeah, you should look him up sometime.
Okay, I see.
He's one of those voice actors that doesn't... I would say like he has a very distinct voice, but I wouldn't... Like I have not heard him do a lot of different types of voices where I couldn't ever recognize his voice. But he still has a very distinct voice, an excellent voice for what it is.
Mm.
And I think he plays one of the random guards in the Ground Zeroes game. I recognized him.
Yeah, he does. Part.
Random, like if you look up the credits, it's like random, it's like soldier.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just looking at his credits now.
Well, shall we wrap this baby up?
Yeah, I think so.
2 hour mark.
God, 2 hours. I think we might have to split it into two parts.
Up to you. Whatever seems more natural when you start putting it together.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Impromptu. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to leave a rating on iTunes and let your friends know about us. Detailed show notes for each episode are available on our website at theimpromptu.net. You can follow the show on Twitter at theimpromptu, as well as our hosts individually at Zen Impulse for Michael Norton and at Zero Distraction for Alex Knight. As we are entirely listener supported, you can donate to us at theimpromptu.net/donate. All proceeds go towards covering bandwidth as well as equipment upgrades to uphold the highest level of audio quality you've come to expect. We really do appreciate your support, and we look forward to seeing you next time.